Turn to the table of contents. To the table of contents. And after you turn to the table of contents, look up the name Micah. Micah.
Micah, I like to call it the gospel of Micah,
Because Micah does talk a lot about grace and talk about Bethlehem and all that. He's a very powerful prophet. It's just a short version. It's a condensed version. I'm pretty sure if I wrote a book, I would not be called a minor prophet. Amen. A prophet long wind. Amen. So look, minor prophet. What does God require and expect for us? Lastly, we talked about the mindset and how we handle things because of our mindset. It was more of a defensive thing. It was more of a preparatory thing to get our minds in order to hear God speak to us. Now, today we're going to talk about your mindset on the offense. I don't mean offensive as in being offensive to somebody, but on the offense as in now you're going to go out with the proper mindset and something special, very special, is going to happen. So we're going to talk about the gospel of Micah. We just read it, but I'm going to read it again in a couple other versions just to kind of clarify this and maybe bring more to the surface than some of that Elizabethan language. The Lord had told you, human, what is good. Excuse me, I told New King James. There it goes. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Also, in the New Century Version, he says, the Lord has told you, human, what is good. He has told you what he wants from you, to do what is right to other people, love being kind to others, live humbly, obeying your God. And then the message. It's already made it plain how to live and what to do. What God is looking for in men and women is quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. Wow, that's powerful. Y'all say that's powerful. Now, again, this whole year we're talking about realigning our vision, getting everything back in order, because we've been through some very turbulent times. Since 2020, this whole place has gone absolutely crazy, the whole world. And things are up, that things have been turned upside down. There's a whole lot of what was once called good is now called bad, and what was called bad is now called good. And it's amazing how there's a whole lot of people saying, can't we just get along and can't we just talk? But the truth of the matter is they don't want to get along and talk. They want you to line up with their vision.
That's
right, man. So as long as you line up with their vision, they want to talk. But if you want to bring something to the table, they no longer want to talk. Then they talk junk about us. I'm here to tell you something. The number one thing in this, the most powerful thing in this entire world is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the most powerful thing that's ever been on this earth is the blood of Jesus Christ. Y'all say that with me. The blood of Jesus Christ. And the most powerful thing you can read is the gospel of Jesus. And so I'm willing to sit down and talk with anybody as long as they tell me I don't have to leave my Bible out of it. That I don't have to leave Jesus' blood out of it. So realign your vision. We got to get back knowing that Jesus is still the answer. And all this craziness, we hear about justice. Man, we hear about justice. All we hear about is justice. But the justice they're talking about, they're shoving down our throat. They're trying to legislate it. And they're leaving out people. Especially the Christians. We're left out, keep your mouth shut, sit down, do what we say, and everything will be alright. Nobody gets hurt. That's not how it works. True justice is different. A lot different. True justice when everybody knows that they've been treated right. Everybody. So now, watch this. This message is profound, a profound call to action. It's a divine mindset that outlines what God's required of us to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. It's a call that challenges to first examine our own heart. We're so busy examining everybody else's heart. Examine our own heart. Assess our own actions. And align our lives with the will of God. This passage here, it contains three main points. Each point is an essential pillar in our Christian walk. You hear that? Each point of the three, we're going to go over one today. Each point is essential It's kind of like in the mass where we go up and we have a three-legged stool. We start out with one leg, and you put out the one leg, and the stool can't stand. You put a second leg up, and it still can't stand, but you put the third leg up, and now you've got that stool. Well, this one here is a little different because any one of the three, the stool can stand, but all three together is very, very, very powerful in the eyes of God and in the eyes of man. So now, let's look here again. Your mindset. We talked about the other day, your mindset is your beliefs, your thought patterns, and when your beliefs and your thought patterns and your actions all collide, then you'll find out what somebody's mindset is. So what fuels your mindset, this was last week, determines the power of your mindset. And of course, we talked about it for 2 weeks. Faith in God provides supernatural power in our lives. But just like that, also, as we're talking about mindset, as we're talking about supernatural power, let's just take it one step further. I think about this all the time when I'm going to Pitt Detention or Beaufort County Detention Center or as a chaplain or whatever, working with people that I don't even know. And I think about this stuff all the time because this is my driving force. This is what keeps me on the up and up. This is what keeps me from picking and choosing who to minister to. This is what does it right here. All right. What fuels your offensive mindset? What determines your go-get-it mindset? Well, here it is. It's the love of God. Agape. All the other loves, remember we talked about it all the time. There's four kinds of love in the Bible. And three of the loves, we're not going to go into all of them. But the three of the loves, they all give expecting something in return. But agape love is true God love. Agape love is Christ on that cross. He given himself, given him all of himself, not expecting anything in return. That's supernatural love. So, when you match that supernatural power with that supernatural love, whoa! Now, you've got an unstoppable mindset. How many here want to have an unstoppable mindset? You want to see something happen powerfully right now, especially in all this junk that is going on around us. And everybody trying to tell us how to live. And, you know, I quit watching sports. Last night, Duke's playing Carolina. And honestly, I felt when they started, went from playing sports to telling me how to live, I forget it. I'm here to watch sports to forget about what's going on outside, not for you to tell me how to live. Okay? So again, I did hear about this one Carolina guy. I had to tell it. One of those Carolina players, bless his heart. He came up during halftime during one of those girls sitting on the bench, and he goes, he's from Carolina now. He said, where y'all go to school? And she said, excuse me? He said, where y'all go to school? She goes, oh, she says, Yale. He said, where y'all go to school? Notice it wasn't a Duke player, that was a Carolina player. Okay.
Who won the game?
I don't know. I didn't even watch it. I have no idea. All right. So here we go. Here, God's love. Watch, ready? Matthew 22:36-40, Christian Standard Version. Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law, all the prophets, they hinge on these two things. My friend's got a little bit further here. The Amplified Version says, teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is, unselfishly seek the best or higher good for others. Wow. The whole law and the writings of the prophets depend on these two commandments. Wow, that's so powerful. If we could get this being taught in our schools, and we could get this being brought back up in government, And yet this talk in our neighborhoods, guess what? All this craziness going on will start going away. Amen? But instead, they know we have the answer, so they try to shut us up. Because if we start talking, their agenda is gone. So, remember, no matter what they say, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. How many remember the prodigal son? That's such a good example. I'm going to talk about this just a minute, then we'll go right into the first one. There's the father. He's waiting for the son. He's hugging his neck. The parable of the prodigal son, I put a lot up there because I really don't want to miss anything. But the parable of the prodigal son, the father's love for his son is not diminished by his son's rebellion. I hear people all the time say, have I just done so bad that God won't love me anymore? I hear it. It's not just in Pitt or over the tension. I hear it in Walmart. I hear it in the checkout line at the grocery store. Have I gone so far? Have I done so wrong? Have I stepped out of his will so much that he no longer loves me? The Bible says there's no condemnation in Christ. And there's no way, in Romans 8, you can escape his love. He's willing to forgive. He's willing to restore son, the prodigal father. He is this kind of love that God has for us, because he forgives us, he restores us, he heals us, and he redeems us. His love, the father's love, was patient and long-suffering. Despite repeated failures, despite repeated shortcomings, he continues to love us and patiently waits for us to turn back to him. Wow. That's amazing. Totally amazing. Do you know that he does not give up on us, but he persistently pursues us with his love? Wow. God loves you that much. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how many times you've blown it. That's why we do communion. Not because we ain't blown it, but because he didn't blow it. Amen? I can't trust in my own self to get me to heaven. I can't trust in my own works to get me to heaven. But I can trust in the work of Jesus Christ. It'll get you into heaven. It's a sacrificial love. That's most evident on the cross, because God sacrificed his only begotten son. He was willing, he's willing to sacrifice everything. This countless act of love, willing to sacrifice everything to see us be able to set our feet under his table. Whoa. Such a powerful. It's also the Father's love. It's a transformative love. What do you mean by transformative love? This changes us. It'll mold you. It will shape you. Knowing that kind of love for you does something for you. They just took a lot of places overseas. Back when they made that first Jesus movie, they took the Jesus movie. Although they tried to translate it in different languages, sometimes they weren't even translated in the language yet. They would just put it up on the big screen out in a field somewhere, and people watching what Jesus did for them. Just watching what he did. People were giving their hearts and life to Jesus Christ without even knowing that they were saved. I remember one night I was preaching, and while I was preaching, this young lady came in with her boyfriend, and he kept watching. And I was preaching about God's love, and preaching about God, his love, his power. And this young man kept looking at me, and pretty soon he started crying. And he started crying to the point that he was shaking all the way through the sermon. When I called the altar call, who wants Jesus Christ in their life? This young man got up and came to the altar, and his girlfriend came with him. I knew his girlfriend. I'd never seen him. And I asked him, what does he need? He just looked at me. And his girlfriend said he doesn't speak English. That's the power of God. I said, what's he want? He says he needs God in his life. And he said, Jesus Christ, as his Savior, as the Holy Spirit convicted him, because although I couldn't speak his language, the Holy Spirit could speak his language. Man, that is so, 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 so powerful. It's a personal love. It's not distant. It's not impersonal. It's close. It's intimate. He knows your name. He knows your thoughts. He knows your struggle. He's not some distant God somewhere up on a throne and just say, do the best you can. He's walking with you in everything you're going through. He knows you deeply. He knows you intimately. He knows what you are facing now. And so, one more thing about God's love, then we're going on to the mic up. It's not a passive love, but it's an active love that calls us to action. It calls us to love him. But look, calls him to love him in return, to obey his commands, to follow his ways, to live out our faith in live out our faith in him in our daily lives. Let God see you. He wants to see this. And so now, let's go ahead and talk about Michael. He said, you need to act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. That's in courageous by casting crowns. What does God require of us? To act justly, live mercy, love mercy, walk humbly with our God. Micah 6 and 8. So let's get the first one first. Act justly. Now, look at this. Now, mastering justice in our actions. How do we, in a world gone crazy, like I said, in a world that's legislating justice, and the more they legislate justice, the more the chaos erupts, because you cannot legislate justice. It's got to come. This kind of justice has to come from God. It has to be a lifestyle. Justice in the biblical sense is more than just a principle or a rule. It is actually a way of life. Do it for people when you don't feel like doing for them. You know, I think about this, and I ride with the deputies. Some will be riding with deputies more tonight. I think about this as I ride with them and watch these young guys go out there and put their life on the line. And I watch the EMS guys as they go meeting in places, and all of them putting their life on the line. And I see some guys getting some bad fixes. I never saw them back down. Not one itty bitty bit. They said, we're out here making a difference. DC, I know you don't want to tell it, but he's on call this week. Which means he just told me, he said, Dad, if I get a call, because I'm on call, you know where I'm going to be? I said, yeah, on that road somewhere. A couple weeks ago, you weren't here because he was out there on 33, out there when that truck turned over. In a dangerous situation, giving yourself for folks you don't even know. Call it justice. You see, it's about treating others with fairness, about standing up for the oppressed, about making right what is wrong. Reflecting the heart of God in everyday circumstances, everyday actions. I know sometimes I'll be in Pitt or be in Beaufort, and one of those guys will get a little carried away and he'll start cussing, ripping and raring. And the other guy's going, woo, woo. He's still cussing, ripping around, just smile. And I say, do you kiss your mama with that mouth? And they go, oops. I said, you're not bothering me. I'm fine with this. I ain't always been a preacher, bro. I'm here for you. Reflecting the heart of God in your everyday actions. The Bible says in Amos 5:24, let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Let it roll on. God wants us to make a difference, such a difference in this life, that those that are in need, those that do have a need in their life, they do have problems in their life, They know that somebody cares enough that they'll stand up and they'll do what is right. So first, it's considered as a lifestyle. Next, did I go backwards? Yeah, I went backwards. My daddy said I wore my first pair of shoes walking backwards. Ready? Here we go. The second thing. Listen carefully. Justice is not just our actions, but it's also about our attitude. It's about the condition of the heart. It's having a heart that is sensitive to the needs of others. When we go on Thursday night, the pit and those guys go out, I'm here going, man, I wish I wasn't here tonight. Oh, they're chomping. Let's get out there. And when they come back, they've got notes, they've got prayer requests, they've got all kinds of things because they've been out amongst the people. And they've been in there, locked in with 40 and 50 guys, locked in behind two doors with these guys. Some guys couldn't take it. We took a guy one night, and he got out and said, I don't want to go again. I never want to go again. And it hurt him so bad. He scared him so bad, he didn't quit coming to church. And these guys do it. One-on-one, talking with these guys, because they want to do justice. They want to take up for those that are in need. You see, a heart that is moved by compassion, driven by love. This is the kind of love that fuels justice. A love that seeks the ultimate good of others. You know, the Bible says, no greater love than this than a man lay down his life for his friends. We always think that it's talking about his death. It don't always mean his death. It means you sacrifice what you were planning on doing to take care of them, to help them. You sacrifice what you had in mind to help somebody else. That's the kind of love that God stands up and takes notice of. So, justice is not just actions, but it's also our attitude. And one more. Justice is about integrity. Integrity. It's about being honest and upright in all our dealings. How many remember back in the day when you talked with somebody and you worked out a deal and you did this? And once you did that, you knew it was good as done. Remember those days? And nowadays, they forget to even talk to you. Or they put their hand in their pocket. Or they forget to shake a hand. They go, the handshake don't mean anything to me. Back in the day, I remember so many times as a pastor, if you just shake my hand, Pastor, I know you mean business. I'll tell you how cold it was last week. It was so cold, I heard it was so cold that day that they found three lawyers with their hands in their own pockets.
That's cold.
That's cold. It's not being true to our word and faithful in our commitments. Wow. It's about doing what is right, even when it's hard. Even when no one is watching. I sent out a mighty army one day. I don't know if y'all remember this. It said, if the whole world was blind, who would you impress? Think about it. They can't see you. They just know that something's been done. So if the whole world is blind, there's nobody to impress but one. And that is God. The integrity upright guides them by the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Proverbs 11 and 3. Duplicity, talking out of both sides of their mouth. This underscores this importance of integrity in our pursuit of justice. justly, love mercy, walk humbly. And fourth, justice is about responsibility. This is one I have not seen. Not by us. I'm talking about when I watch television. And I remember watching as they were going through the cities and destroying all the cities and destroying stuff. And people that worked all their life to get a business going. And they were going through rioting and tearing it all up and reaching in and grabbing all their stuff and carrying it off. That's not justice. They don't even come close to justice. Take responsibility for our actions and their impact on others. Wow. If you've never watched this movie, I want every one of you that will watch it. It was on Turner Classic Movies this week. It'll come on again tomorrow, I think. I'm not sure. It was called Autobiography of Jane Pittman. A woman who was born a slave, who lived through the Civil War, and she came all the way up to the Civil Rights Movement in the 60s when she died. She was 110 years old, maybe over that. Watch that movie. And you see what I'm talking about. Some things they call justice were not justice. And others, there was justice, but the guys lost their life as they brought justice forth. It's a very powerful, powerful movie. I remember watching it the first time when I was about 10, living in Mary. And I couldn't take my eyes off of it back then. And my wife and I watched it the other night, and again, it was just so, to watch. True integrity, true justice, versus the stuff we call integrity, injustice that we destroy people's lives. Recognizing our choices have consequences. You can't always blame everybody else for your consequence for what you do. You need to start taking responsibility for what you do. It was make choices that promote justice and righteousness. I remember when I was going to court for Bethany, I went on behalf of Bethany for 3 years in court. It was family court. So I got a chance to sit in the courtroom. Sometimes once a week, sometimes twice a week, sometimes once or twice a month. But it was always, in 3 years, I was always going up there. I went there so much, I only missed one case, that the DA started calling me up on the stand to testify against her dad and her stepdad, who both had beat this girl, molested her, and broke her body. And I remember getting up there, and I'd hear the people talk about why they were the way they were. Mama didn't give me enough of this. Daddy didn't give me enough of that. Mama did this, mama did that. Daddy, mama. My teacher, blah, blah, blah. And the judge would say, well, I understand. You might think this is what caused it, but you're the one going to jail today. You're the one that's going to pull these 3 years. You're the one that's going to pull these 10 years. Just so you know, you may not have had the best of upbringings, but how you act once you get out of that house, you're going to pay the consequences, not them. And one day I watched as a woman got up, a mother, and asked the court to take her daughter from her. She said, I can't do a thing with her. Said, I want you to take my daughter away from me now. Please take my daughter away from me. She was 15. And the judge looked at her and said, "Ma'am," he said, "Ma'am, she's been in this court back and forth, back and forth. And I've heard these stories about her back and forth all these years." And she said, "I noticed you. And I noticed how it was handled, how you handled it." She said, "I want you to go home and be a mom. And quit waiting for everybody else to be a mom. You be a mom." This is true, I'm not making it up. And she said, this is what she said. He said, if she comes here one more time, you're going to pull her sentence. Now go home. Be responsible. We're just going to give an account of ourselves to God for our actions. You can blame everybody you want to. When you stand up there before God, it's just you and Him. That's a very powerful thing to think about. It's just you and Him. Wow. Matter of fact, here's what I imagine. As God is judging us, now if you get the white throne of judgment, your destination is hell. That's going to be at the end. But if you're taken up in the rapture, or you make it through the rapture, and you haven't made it, you didn't go to the rapture, but you made it all the way through, and went through the tribulation, and you made it through the millennial reign, and you didn't take the mark, then there's a possibility you're going to be saved too. But when you stand before God at the Bema judgment seat, that's not where you get sent to hell. This is just where you get your rewards. And God starts showing you your life. He's not going to judge you on what you owned, what your house was, where you worked. He's going to judge you on your actions and your intentions. See it? Your actions, your intentions. And it's going to be side by side with what He said you were capable of doing. This is what you knew, the information you had, and this is what you did with it. That's where the judgment comes. The Bible also says if you did things for your own good, to make yourself look good, that's going to burn up behind you. God's watching. And in this day and time, we need real justice and real responsibility. In fact, I'm getting ready to close. DC, come get me to play something. God has a plan. Trust it. Live it. Enjoy it. Ready? That's all I'll leave you with today. Let us live out our faith in ways that reflect the heart of God. Let us treat others with fairness. Stand up for the oppressed. Make right what is wrong. Let us have hearts that are sensitive to the needs of others. Hearts that are moved by compassion and driven by love. Let us be people of integrity, honesty, upright in all of our dealings. Let us take responsibility for our actions and their impact on others. Some of y'all have heard this story. Sunday morning. I said, "Why?" He said, "I'm sending the family to you." I said, "Okay." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because they're your kind of people." I said, I'm sorry. What are you talking about?" He said, "They're your kind of people." I said, "What are my kind of people?" He said, "Well, you'll take anybody." I said, "Well, isn't that what Jesus did?" He goes, "Yeah, but you'll see." He said, "They came to our church last week and got carpet dirt. got some of the pews dirty. Grand bunch of shovings. Said, "Hey, you're coming?" Send them. That Sunday came. They were kind of rough. When the youngest came in and had so much, "Forgive me for my etiquette," answer. When he had snot, which had made blood pile down his mouth. I said, "How you doing, buddy?" And I went and hugged him. He was coughing. I said, "Come on, man." I carried him to the bathroom and I took a paper towel. First I said, "Blow your nose." He blew it. I wiped his little face. I said, "I'm so glad you're coming to be with us today at church." He said, "I'm glad I'm here too, Pastor." And I remember what God did that day for that family. When the service was over, I called that pastor. And I said, "You remember those people you said you were going to send that were my kind of people?" He said, "Yes." I said, "You were right. They are a family." I said, "Matter of fact, next time you get some of my people, just do me a favor and just send them on right straight." God's called us to stand up for those that can't stand up for themselves. Take responsibility. And let God, you'll figure it all out. He's already got it figured out. Think about how you impact. Because in doing so, not only are you going to please God, you're going to make such a difference, a positive difference in this world. It's time to reset, realign, and restart our life this year in a different way. Get back to basics. Get back to genuine agape love for our community, for those around us. Nobody's called us to be the judge and the jury. God's called us to be the missionaries to bring them in. Has he shown you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, which will be next week, and to walk humbly with your God. Whatever I stand.
Fairly and squarely,
Nobody looking around. And my first alignment is to line myself up with God to get back where I belong with Him, to strive for that deeper relationship. But nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. If I'm talking to you right now, you need to realign yourself with God. Put that hand up. Lord, right now, you see these hands. God, you're more than capable to touch, to realign. Maybe you're here today, and you and God, you know that you've given yourself to Him for salvation, but maybe you haven't given yourself to Him to seek those that are lost, to make a difference in people's lives. People are hurting out there. It's so amazing. I've been doing this for 35 years. And one of the things I've noticed each year, it gets tougher and tougher and tougher because the influence of Christ has been getting pulled more and more out of the way. And the influence of the world keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And there's so many hurt people out there. I read somewhere lately where they said the church itself, especially in the United States, which used to be the breadbasket of the world, is slowly declining to the point where the churches all over will soon be just shutting down because of lack of interest. We can make that stop by following the gospel of Micah. It's amazing what will happen. This is not legislated justice. This is not one-sided justice. This is a fair scale for everyone. I want us all to pray together. Y'all pray with me. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the gospel of Micah. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've given me the opportunity to realign my mindset with you. I thank you, God, that you've given me the opportunity to realign my heart and spirit with you. I ask you right now, God, to help me to be a Micah 6:8 Christian. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for using me and helping me to take care of what you put in front of me. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. Now Tuesday nights, we're still doing, we got a couple of weeks left on talking about worry, and then we're going to start talking about your purpose. Kind of works out good when you're realigned to be able to talk about your purpose. So we're going to be talking about how to discover your purpose. And again, I'm going to tell you what to think on Tuesday nights. I'm trying to help you, teach you how to think. There's a difference in telling you what to think, which is what the world's doing now, and telling you how to think, which is how they used to be. So if you will, you want to know something about your purpose. In a couple of weeks, we're going to start it on Tuesday nights. Don't forget, God is calling us in this last roundup. Remember I told you last week, we're not minutes before the atomic clock at midnight. We're seconds before the atomic clock goes off. I'm not afraid because God's got me. God's got you. God's got this church. Let's say the Lord's Prayer. And then I'm going to ask Brother Doug to dismiss us in prayer. Say it. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Thank you so much for this day. Lord, we thank you for the word that we have heard today with our ears. I pray that you would hide it in our hearts. Everywhere we go, that we would show your love to others, that we would be the salt of the earth and the light of this world, that we would do what is right in your name. Lord, give us strength, and wisdom, and understanding as we depart here, that you would keep us safe and bring us back to the next appointed time. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.